It is conference championship weekend, one of the best weekends of football every year. We've got two incredible games lined up. We're going to go through the key matchups, what stands out, whether you're looking for the best bets of the weekend or the best DFS plays, or whether you've got fantasy playoff games going on. This show will give you all the answers you need to crush this weekend. Let's get into it with our first game. It is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Baltimore Ravens, 44.5 over under in this one. Ravens favored by 3.5 points. Chiefs, they've won 4 of the last 5 games. It was a bit hairy at the end, though. You know, they lost to the Raiders before beating the Bengals and Chargers. You look at the quarterbacks in those games, none of them starters, and it was pretty touch and go for a while. But they really got hot last week against the Bills, and they needed to, because when you look back over the last 5 games, they've been good on defense, but they've really let themselves down on offense until last week. The Ravens, their only loss since week 11 came when they rested players against Steelers in week 18. Over the last 5 games, the last 5 meaningful games for the Ravens, the offense put up 38.6 points per game. That's 11 more than any of the 4 remaining teams in the playoffs. They've gained 2.4 passing touchdowns in that spell, 169 rushing yards. They're both by far the most of any of the 4 teams left. The Ravens have also allowed the fewest total points at 14.4 per game. That's going back over the last 5 games, including games against the Texans, Dolphins, Niners, and Jags. Their defense is lights out at the minute and should give Patrick Mahomes a real test. Mahomes, he's scored over 19 points just once since week 12, and since week 8, he's only thrown for 300 passing yards once. You go back to last year, and that was kind of Patrick Mahomes in DFS was such an auto start because you knew you were getting the 300 passing yard bonus on DraftKings every week. And now we're just not getting that. Mahomes did look excellent last week, though. You know, he completed 74% of his passes against the Bills. And if you're going to play Mahomes in DFS, you've got to kind of lean into the mindset that he can throw for over 300 passing yards and throw for 3 or more touchdowns, really. Lamar Jackson, he's straight up balling right now. I mean, it only seems fitting that the Ravens are going to have to play the Chiefs, though, because for so long, the Chiefs were kind of kryptonite to the Ravens. The first 3 games Lamar played against the Chiefs, they lost all 3. The last time these 2 teams met in 2021, Jackson did beat them. It was like 35-36, incredible game. But so much has changed for Jackson and the Ravens since then. You look at now, we've got Mike McDonald, who's probably going to win assistant coach of the year. They've got Todd Monken, who should also be in running for that. Jackson, he scored 39 DraftKings points in back-to-back games. He's got 3 games over 35 points since week 14. Hasn't turned the ball over since week 15. He's averaging 69.4 rushing yards over the last 5. And the Chiefs defense, they're excellent against the pass. They allow the fewest passing yards of any team left in the playoffs, the fewing passing touchdowns of all the playoff teams. They gave the 6th fewest quarterback fantasy points during the season, but it didn't stop Josh Allen putting up 30 DraftKings points last week. And part of that is because of the damage he can do on the run. And I really think that the Chiefs' run defense is going to struggle to contain Lamar Jackson this weekend. It feels like the kind of week where, much like last week, where he hit the 100-yard bonus against the Texans, he could do the same here. In terms of running backs, Pacheco, he's running as well as any running back left in the competition. Like, you know, he's averaging 5.2 yards per carry. He's scored 18 points in 3 of the last 5 games, scored 7 touchdowns in the last 6 games. The Ravens' rushing defense, they've only allowed 5 running back rushing touchdowns all year. But I think if the Chiefs are going to succeed here, then Pacheco's probably going to be at the heart of that. And I like him as an anytime touchdown scorer this week. Gus Edwards, he's kind of seen his workload be reduced with Justice Hill looking really good over the last few weeks. Edwards has had 12.2 rush attempts per game over the last 5, 3 games at 10 or below. That's just not enough volume to really be a standout play. I don't mind playing him in lineups where you're saying, okay, this weekend the Ravens are going to target the Chiefs' weakness and they are going to run all over them. But I'd just be a little bit wary about plugging him in and expecting a really good game because Justice Hill has looked so good recently. Dalvin Cook, he had a 19-yard run on his first attempt and then he had 7 more rushes, gained 4 more yards. So I'm not there on Dalvin Cook. I think it's a dart throw and I would expect that if this game is close, then he probably won't get too many touches. Rashi Rice, 6,500 is easily the easiest click of the Chiefs receivers. Last week was his lowest receiving yardage total since week 11. The Bills, they kind of kept him quiet. And I do think the Ravens potentially have that in the range of outcomes. You know, Nico Collins was held to 5 catches on 10 targets last week. The Ravens, they rank first in pass defense DVOA. You see here, these are the kind of matchup data that we put in our Discord each week for our YouTube members. If you want to be a YouTube member, hit the join button down below. It costs you less than the price of a cup of coffee every month. And in return, you get all this advanced data that will help you crush every week. In terms of other Chiefs wide receivers, MVS had his second most receiving yards of the season, 62, but he still failed to hit double-digit points. He's only been in the double-digit points once this year. So you can play him as a dart throw, but I don't feel any conviction in it being a good play. The last 3 wide receivers who scored against the Ravens in meaningful games were Cedric Wilson, Ronnie Bell, and Jamal Agnew. So perhaps one of these extra Chiefs options does make it into the end zone and is good enough for showdown contests, but I'm not sure about on the 2-game slate whether I view them as good enough. Kadarius Toney, you know, he's barely been practicing. And last year where he was so good was the Chiefs were designing plays for him in the playoffs. And if you're not practicing, then they're probably not designing plays for you. On the Ravens side of things, Zay Flowers was shadowed by Derek Stingley last week. And he did a good job at shutting him down. Flowers caught 4 of his 5 targets. Lamar was really spreading the ball around last week. Flowers, his 41 yards was the lowest since he returned, his lowest return since week 15. I wouldn't be surprised if L'Jarius Sneed ends up shadowing him quite a lot this week. L'Jarius Sneed has turned into one of the best shadow corners in the league, and it wouldn't be surprising to see that happen. It's also worth remembering that Zay Flowers wasn't as productive with Mark Andrews on the field. So if Mark Andrews is back, is that going to eat into Flowers' upside a little bit? I'm a little bit worried about Flowers being able to reach his ceiling this week without breaking a long catch or getting into the end zone. Odell Beckham, we were all expecting so much more. You know, he saw a single target last week. We were thinking that the Ravens were keeping him for the playoffs, and then just nothing happened. Nelson Agholor was running ahead of him. Agholor is the main slot receiver for the Ravens. He's got 5 receiving touchdowns. The only player with more is Mark Andrews. I don't mind taking dart throws on Agholor simply because the Ravens seem comfortable using him in situations where they need someone to make a play. And then Rashad Bateman has quietly improved over the last few weeks. He's had 39 or more receiving yards in 3 of the last 4 meaningful games. He hasn't broke double digits yet, but it feels like it's very close. So perhaps more in showdown, or if you really need the salary relief on the 2-game slate, it's an okay play, but not one I'd be desperate to do. At the tight end position, Travis Kelce finally got hot. You know, he had an awful fantasy season over the last 6 or 7 weeks. And then now he's had consecutive games of 70 plus yards, got into the end zone against Buffalo for the first time since week 11. The Ravens, they've been good against the tight end position all year. They've only given up 3 tight end touchdowns. So it might be a trickier prospect for him this week, but if you're leaning into playing Patrick Mahomes, then I think you have to be willing to stack him with Travis Kelce now. Whether you go like Mahomes, Kelce, Pacheco stack, or Mahomes, Rice, Kelce stack, you're leaning into the idea that you need Mahomes to throw multiple passing touchdowns to be the best value quarterback on this slate. And a lot of that production is probably going to come from Travis Kelce. It's worth considering as well, Noah Gray, 2,500 on DraftKings. He caught all 3 of his targets for 16 yards against the Bills. 6 games over 6 points this year. At 2,500, you're really only looking for 7 points to pay off, and he's definitely in play for showdown. The Ravens' tight end situation's gotten murkier with the news that Mark Andrews is expected to be back. His relationship with Lamar Jackson is just truly elite. And you see when plays break down, he is the player that Lamar is looking for. He is the player he trusts in the end zone. And I wouldn't be surprised if Andrews scores a touchdown, but doesn't necessarily quite get there in the yardage in his first game back since, you know, cracked fibula. Isaiah Likely should absolutely be still on the field. You know, he's had a 1 single-digit point return since week 12. And I do think Todd Monken has had enough success over years with two tight end formations that he should be able to get the best out of them here against the Chiefs defense that allowed the Buffalo tight ends to catch all six of their targets last week. Moving on to the Lions at San Francisco. But first, if you are here, all I need you to do, hit that subscribe button. We've got rookie content coming out of our ears at the minute. We've got so much more in the pipe. We've got loads of redraft stuff coming. It is a good time to be a subscriber of Fantasy Sanctuary. So the Lions at San Francisco, the Lions who have given up 7 points to the Niners here. And the key to this game for me is the Lions run defense. Like 18 months ago, the Lions were one of those defenses that you targeted every single week in DFS because they just couldn't defend the run at all. And then a switch flipped at one point. I think it was around the bye week in the 2022 season. And now they're truly excellent against running backs, particularly in fantasy. They gave up the fewest fantasy points to the running back position. They allow 64 rushing yards per game over the last five. That's 42 fewer than the Ravens, who are viewed as one, an excellent rush defense. But the Lions, their big weakness is the passing game. They give up 346 passing yards over the last five. They also allowed 2.2 receiving touchdowns per game. So they find themselves in these situations where they have to put up points. And I don't mind leaning into that kind of narrative here if we expect the Niners to be good. The vibes around the Niners aren't particularly good at the minute. And ever since Brock Purdy played the Ravens, it seems like his play has been shaky at best, and now we've got this new narrative that Brock Purdy can't play in the rain, so it's worth paying attention to that. But the Niners, they've quietly gone about their business. They've won four of their last five meaningful games. They've put up 27 points per game while doing so. So there's no reason to be particularly fearful of them. Goff, he's the cheapest of the four starters on the two-game slate, and it feels fair to say his range of outcomes is probably as high as any. He's had three games over 20 points in the last six games. He's also had three games below 15 points in that time. He's only had three games with 300 passing yards all year. So when Goff does perform well for fantasy, it's typically by throwing multiple touchdowns. So if you're playing Jared Goff, you need to understand that you're saying that he's going to throw a bunch of touchdowns on Sunday. That means you're probably looking at double or triple stacking him. The Niners, they've allowed fifth fewest quarterback fantasy points this year. Over the last five games, they've allowed 189 passing yards and 1.6 passing touchdowns. So even though they've been good against quarterback position, you can pass on them a little bit. Brock Purdy, we talked about it already. He's in shaky form, to say the least. But his surrounding weapons and Kyle Shanahan just truly make him worth playing every single time he takes the field. Before week 16, Purdy had only one game below a 60% completion rate all year, and then since then he's had three games below that point. So it's definitely a little bit alarming. But this is the bounce back spot of all bounce back spots. The Lions, they allow the sixth most fantasy points to quarterbacks, over 346 passing yards per game. So if Purdy is going to pay off this week, it's by hitting the 300 passing yard bonus and throwing for at least two touchdowns, which feels very viable. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be an incredibly popular play because he scored 12 rushing touchdowns this year, despite the fact that the Lions favor David Montgomery in short yardage situations or even Craig Reynolds last week. But Gibbs, he's shown that he could score from anywhere on the field. He's an absolute speed demon. Gibbs has scored over 16 points in five of the last seven games, scored a touchdown in all but one game since week 13. David Montgomery, though, has seen his value kind of diminish over that period. Since week 12, he's not been over the 15-point mark once, and he's scored six touchdowns in that time. It's quite hard not to score over 15 points if you're scoring touchdowns, but he's managed it. The Niners, you can run on them. Their run defense ranks 15th in DVOA. They've allowed 128 rushing yards and 0.8 rushing touchdowns over the last five games. That's the worst of any team left in the playoffs. So if the game script is close, then I don't mind running out David Montgomery. I don't mind running out Jahmyr Gibbs. The Lions would be quite smart to try and keep this close and keep the running game involved, because that's an area which the Niners will give up yardage. CMC, most expensive player on the slate. The only player above 8,000. He is 9,000 on DraftKings. He scored over 28 points on 7 occasions this year. 23 touchdowns through rushing and receiving. But the Lions, they are a tough run defense. They allow only 64 yards per game, 0.2 touchdowns. If you're fading CMC, then you have to be viewing it as leverage. So last week, the one for me that stood out was I was fading CMC because I wanted to play Deebo Samuel aggressively. And it felt like that was going to be the right move when the Niners came out and Deebo was a clear part of the game plan early on. And then, of course, he gets injured and they have to change on the fly. This week, though, I prefer to play it differently. We'll get to that in a second. But the Lions wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, highest priced wide receiver on the slate, almost twice as expensive as the next nearest Lions wide out. He is 7,900. St. Brown scored over 21 points in all of his last 6 games. It's an incredible level of consistency for a player, not a quarterback. I think here that you could definitely play him because the Niners allow 13th most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. And he's just such a volume hog. Jameson Williams, he's 3,700. He was out-targeted last week by Josh Reynolds. Jameson Williams out-targeted Josh Reynolds last week. He had 4 targets to Reynolds' 3. But it was Reynolds who outscored him again because he scored the touchdown. I just have to lean towards Reynolds. People want to chase the ceiling with Jameson Williams. We've not seen it. The guy never scores double-digit points. It's a really hard click for me. Deebo Samuel, like I mentioned, he was looked set to be a big part of the game plan, and now he's not practicing, or he's practicing in a limited fashion because of a shoulder injury. But this game, this sets up for Brandon Ayuk. 6,900, 400 cheaper than Deebo Samuel. The Lions, they've played man coverage at the 3rd highest rate of any team in the league over the last 6 games. Ayuk leads the Niners with a 28% target per route run share against that coverage, whereas Deebo dominates against zone looks. When you come up against a defense that lean heavily into zone, that's when you play Deebo. Man coverage, this is Ayuk. Ayuk's had 7 games over 100 receiving yards in the regular season, and the Lions, talked about already, give up 346 passing yards per game along with 2.2 touchdowns. It just shapes up for a monster week. If you're looking for a captain suggestion for the showdown slates, it's Ayuk. If you're looking for a player who's an absolute must play on the main slate, it's Ayuk. If Deebo can't play, Juwan Jennings will come back into play. He had 5 catches for 61 yards against the Packers. Play possibly Ronnie Bell as a dart throw, but he was inactive last week. Sam Laporta at 5,400. He had a much better outing last week against the Bucs. 11 targets, 65 yards. That was a week after he only had 3 targets and 14 yards in the wild card round. The Niners, they are good against the tight end position. They're not leaky there anyway. But, you know, we've seen good tight ends have good days against them. All it's going to take for Sam Laporta is 50 yards and a touchdown, and he'll pay off. George Kittle, 5,300. He's had over 65 receiving yards in 4 of his last 6 games, playing a defense allowing the 8th most tight end fantasy points, giving up the 5th highest yards per reception and the 7th most yards per game to the tight end position. Kittle's one of my favorite plays of the week. I think you can look at this and go, okay, I'm going to play Brock Purdy, double stacked with Kittle and Ayuk, and I'm going to use that as leverage away from the chalk CMC teams. I'm going to play them, and I'm going to play some cheaper running backs to make up for it. And then I'm just going to jam in studs. And I think that could definitely be a fruitful way to go about things. That's the end of this week's show. Nice short one. Obviously, not too many games to talk about. We will be back for the Super Bowl preview. Hit that like, hit that subscribe button. Let me know who you're building your teams around this weekend. If you have any questions, leave them in the comments, and I will always answer every single one.